From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called A Prayer for the Prevention of Sin, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Evening Brightens into Day. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 7. It shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. It is a surprise that it should be so, for all things threaten that at evening time it shall be dark. God is wont to work in a way so much above our fears and beyond our hopes that we are greatly amazed and are led to praise His sovereign grace. No, it shall not be with us as our hearts are prophesying. The dark will not deepen into midnight, but it will on a sudden brighten into day. Never let us despair. In the worst times, let us trust in the Lord, who turneth the darkness of the shadow of death into the morning. When the tale of bricks is doubled, Moses appears, and when tribulation abounds, it is nearest its end. This promise should assist our patience. The light may not fully come till our hopes are quite spent by waiting all day to no purpose. To the wicked, the sun goes down while it is yet day. To the righteous, the sun rises when it is almost night. May we not with patience wait for that heavenly light, which may be long in coming, but is sure to prove itself well worth waiting for. Come, my soul, take up thy parable and sing unto Him who will bless thee in life and in death, in a manner surpassing all that nature has ever seen when at its best. At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. In the current message, Dr. Cairns is focusing on the petition in the Lord's Prayer, which asks, And lead us not into temptation. He has reminded us that the Lord Jesus Christ has faced temptation in its most extreme intensity and came forth triumphant. We are praying that we'll not have to face such temptation as he did. Implicit in the petition is the exhortation to use the means God has provided for us in the hour of temptation, that is, the Word of God, prayer, the fellowship of God's people, and above all, a clearer sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, A Prayer for the Prevention of Sin.
Jesus says, Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Slothfulness, carelessness, and pride are dangerous to a Christian. You remember Achan? Achan saw the spoils of Babylon, the Babylonish garment, the shekels of silver and of gold. He says, I saw them, and then I coveted them, and then I took them. It started because he was watching the wrong thing. Slothfulness. Take David. David should have been at war, but he was being slothful, neglectful of his duty as the king of Israel. He sent his men out to battle while he, the greatest warrior among them, sat at home. The slothful man found that he saw what he should never have been in a position to look at, and became an adulterer and a party to murder. One look when he was undefended. That's all it took. Take Peter. Full of carnal confidence. Lord, though all men forsake you, I'll never forsake you. Do you not know I'm Peter? I'm the strong guy around here. I'm not John the timid. I'm not Judas the less. I am Peter. I'll never forsake you. It's a man you're talking to. It's not a woman. It's not a boy. It's not a timid little thing. It's a man you're talking to. I'll never leave you. Idiotic idea. He began to follow afar off. Carnal confidence. And it only took a little girl to challenge him. Down he went. Lord, keep us alert. Keep us aware. Keep us with our eyes fixed on Christ, that we will not be surprised into sin, lest, as Paul said to the Corinthians, Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And that means, finally, that we're praying, Lord, this is my desire, enable us to use the resources that God has made available. You remember what Paul wrote again to the Corinthians, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Most people finish it there. But he goes on to say, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Escaping temptation is not necessarily getting right out of having to face it. It's having the grace to endure it and overcome it. The Lord has always made a way of escape. What is the way of escape? It is Jesus Christ. Nevermore is it true than this. I am the way. He's the only way. Not only the way to heaven, but the way of escape. The way of holiness. The way of purity. God has made it clear. He has given you His Word. Now, Christian, if you're not in the Word of God, you're not taking time in this book, do not be surprised that you're so weak you can't face temptation. If you're not taking time in the place of prayer, if you're not getting alone with God, if you're not on your knees, Jesus is saying, pray that you enter not into temptation. If you're not taking time to pray, then you will fall. If you're not using the opportunities for fellowship and mutual edification and feasting together with God's people in the things of God, if you're not knowing what it is to function as part of the body into which Christ has placed you, then you will not be successful in facing temptation. Most of all, the thing that ties all these together, if you are not constantly, through the Word and prayer, seeking to come to a deeper and deeper understanding of the gospel so that Christ is ever more clearly present in your view, so that you can by faith reach out to Him and run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus. If you're not doing that, if your eyes are off Christ, you'll not be able to withstand temptation. The prayer is, Lord, lead us, enable us to use the resources which Thou hast made available. That's the great wish of this text. But as you pray it, let me finish by saying one last thing. That is, this text not only stresses a great warfare, confesses a great weakness and wickedness in our hearts, and expresses a great wish. But in expressing that wish, I want you to notice that it professes a great walk. Lead us. What does that tell you?
It tells you this prayer is the prayer of one who is following the Lord.
This is a prayer of resignation. This is a prayer of discipleship. This is a prayer of obedience. And this is a prayer of faith. Now let me be very explicit here. It is absolutely vain and hypocritical to pray this prayer while deliberately refusing to follow the Lord, while walking in the flesh, while willfully disobeying God, or while foolishly exposing ourselves to temptation. Would he be a great man of faith or a fool who stuck his hand in a fire and said, "Lord, please don't let me get burned"? That's tempting God. If you don't want to get run over by the tree, and don't lie down in the tracks. And I'm saying this to you and to me, that it is vain hypocrisy to pray, "Lord, lead me not into temptation," while we deliberately, willfully, carelessly disobey our God and put ourselves in the place where we know we're going to be tempted. That means that if we pray this, we're professing such a walk that there will be necessarily great discipline. It will not be enough for you to say, "Well, I see other Christians, and they can go here, or they can do that, therefore I can do the same thing." Not all Christians come from the same background. Not all Christians have the same weaknesses. Not all Christians face the same force from the same temptations. And it will be your responsibility before God to guard the stronghold of your soul, and especially in those areas in which you are most vulnerable. There are people, I've talked to young men, whose lives, I'm thinking, I always, when I mention this, I think of one in particular whose life has been completely ruined by an addiction, immorality and pornography. Now let's get things straight. In a case like that, there's only one thing that's uppermost, and that is how to remain pure. It's not how to be comfortable in the world. It's not how to get along as nearly like other people. It's how to remain pure. I've told people in that position, you may even have to stop getting the daily newspaper. And those of you who know my views of the Greenville News will know that that would be, except for the funnies page, absolutely no great sacrifice. But anyway, you may have to give up the daily newspaper, news magazines, television news, television anything. Now, there are other Christians who can read and look at those things, because they have not been where you are. I hate booze. But if there's a man sitting 3 feet away from me drinking whiskey, it's not going to make me want to drink whiskey. It's not going to have any impact whatsoever. When I see some clown light up a cigarette and try to send himself to an early grave, it doesn't make me want to do it. But I know people, and I've led some of them to the Lord, were to expose themselves to the whiskey. To be there would be to let loose a lion in their breast that would stir them to lead them to destruction. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, I want to walk with God and take whatever steps are appropriate or necessary to ensure that I do not willfully walk away from God and into the jaws of the tempter. And as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, this prayer then is one you can pray with confidence. Oh, temptations will come. The Lord will try you. His promises will try you. When God promises to do something and then takes 5 or 10 years or maybe more to do it, that's a trial of your faith. That's happened to Joseph, according to Psalm 105. The word of the Lord tried him. Satan will tempt us. The world and the flesh will seek to seduce us. We certainly have no strength to face the trials on our own, but thank God we don't have to. For Christ the Conqueror dwells within us, and he says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never fail you. In every test, he can show he is reigning within. In every temptation, he will provide the way of escape. And this prayer is part of that provision. Can I say to you as we close, don't let us wait until we have fallen to pray against our sin and say, Lord, forgive us. Now, if you have fallen, do pray that. Forgive us our debts. But don't let us always wait until we have fallen to pray against sin. Let us make the prevention of sin a major part of our prayer lives. Lead us not into temptation. God will honor and answer that prayer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.